On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Sanctity of Life Sunday is still a day that needs to be observed in the church because it's not just a political thing. It is an understanding of how significant life is, that it is a gift of God. Whatever form that life takes, it is a gift of God. To talk to us today about abortion and how very mention of the word often raises hackles and makes people get defensive and draw political lines. But what we're talking about here is a deeply intimate sort of thing. We're glad that Camille Cates is here to talk to us. She is a biblical counselor and public speaker with a passion for ministering to women in crisis, has written and spoken extensively on the topics of pregnancy care ministry, post-abortion trauma counseling, sexual abuse, and God's design for sex and sexuality. The author of the mini book, Pregnancy Crisis, This Wasn't the Plan, and her newest book, Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God. It's from the Ask the Christian Counselor series from New Growth Press. Camille, thanks very much for joining us today on the Bookshelf.
Doc, thanks so much for having me.
This is an intensely personal sort of topic. One reason why it's so critical for us to talk about it, for the folks that have a different view of what abortion is, this just seems as simple as a political choice. For those of us who are Christians, it's a completely different sort of situation. And I'm thinking as a counselor, that means that when you talk to women, all of these things are in your mind. But because you're a Christian, the biggest thing in your mind, I know, is where is God in all of this and what can we do to find His will?
That's absolutely correct. And I agree, there are a lot of pressures to put abortion under the guise of health care or bodily autonomy, but God created us as these embodied souls. What happens to us in our bodies affects us deeply, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and a lot of proponents of abortion don't really consider the aftermath of those who have made that choice or were pressured to make that choice. So there's a lot of soul care in biblical counseling and ministry to be done for those who have made that choice and regret that choice afterwards.
We're really not going to talk about whether or not abortion is good or bad. You're dealing with women who have already made this decision and they're coming to you afterwards. So this requires a different level of delicacy and appreciation, I'm thinking, than if you're trying to help them avoid an abortion. It's already done. What can we do to ease their shattered spirits? What can we do to bring them back into a loving relationship with Christ? The chapters are short, but very well designed. Who can I turn to? Is God going to punish me? Why can't I just move on? Will I ever stop feeling this way? What do I do with these thoughts about the baby? Why am I struggling with forgiveness, and how do I leave my abortion in the past? And these are all things that every woman that has been through an abortion, and men who are involved in this whole process and often are not given the opportunity to be involved, they need to be a part of this process as well, because they too have lost the opportunity to be a father. They too have lost the opportunity to get to know this little person. Where do you start?
Well, Doc, I really appreciate your approach and even the wording that you've used, that it's a delicate process and approaching it just from even all that you mentioned to men being involved in the choice or not having an involvement, and all of those things add to the complexities surrounding the issue. And so don't want to negate the fact that this is sin. And I think the approach in the past has been for a lot of Christians, especially if they have compassion for those who have made that sinful choice, is to jump straight to forgiveness. God forgives you. And that's true, and we do need to hear that. But if you leave that as the final answer or the only answer to someone who is hurting or struggling with all of those complexities surrounding their situation leading up to an abortion experience, you're doing them a disservice. So really, it should start with just building that relationship. In biblical counseling, we call it building involvement or building relationship. And so a great place for Christians to start is to tell the post-abortive person, I am so sorry that that's been your experience. I can tell it's weighing heavy on you. Would you like to share that with me? I'd be happy to hear and listen to your story or anything that you want to share with me. And I think that's the great place to start, is just being a safe, non-judgmental place. And it's not that we can't judge sin. We are to, you know, call and discern good from evil, but we're not to condemn others, because the Bible tells us that we're already condemned. We already stand condemned apart from Christ, and that Christ came to save us. And then we know that Romans says that there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So just even starting with a place of safety, of willingness, of openness, you may even kind of have an inkling that maybe they've participated in abortion and you're afraid to broach that topic with them for fear of their response or shutting down. I think you can just even segue into, it sounds like there may be something painful from your past. I want you to know that I'm a safe place. I love you. I care about you. Whenever you're ready to share that, I'm here for you. And so those are some great places just to start for any Christian who wants to approach a loved one or friend or acquaintance, coworker, who may have experienced an abortion.
And because abortion is such an intensely personal thing and brings all sorts of different emotions with it, there are probably plenty of women that we know that would never have imagined who are still dealing with from the blowback of having had an abortion even many, many years ago. And you're very honest about your situation. When I read it, I thought, how in the world do you get past these things happening and come out of it on the other side? There was a book that I read many, many years ago when I first became a pastor. I was a pastor for 29 years, and it was called The Wounded Healer. And in it, Henri Nouwen wrote that God allows us to be broken in ways that we can use later when we meet other people who are broken in the same way. This keeps showing up in my experience with people, that so many times I find out that the reason that they're involved in different ministries is because they've had those kind of losses or those kind of challenges to overcome. You want to tell us about your story?
Sure, and that's the beauty of God's redemption in sin and suffering, is that he uses those things for his glory and our good. And so just a little bit of my story. I grew up in the church and came to know Christ actually at the age of 12. I was at a youth camp, and a lot of times looking back, so for the listeners, I am post-abortive. I have an abortion experience in my past, and I had to wrestle through, you know, how could I be a Christian and have an abortion? But, you know, we're capable, the human heart is capable of all kinds of depravity. That's why we need Christ. So I did get saved pretty young, and I went back from that youth camp experience and just did not have good discipleship. You know, my mom and dad professed Christ, but I didn't see a lot of the outworking of those biblical principles and a deep love for Christ in action in the home. And so, you know, when I got to my teenage years, I was trying to navigate dating relationships and romantic relationships without really any spiritual compass other than, I think, every teenager who's grown up in youth group in a Bible-believing church has probably come away with the idea, if I have sex outside of marriage, it's wrong and it's a sin, which is true, but they don't always understand the why. And that's why I'm particularly passionate about talking to teens on these tough topics and having those conversations. But so without that good discipleship and teaching and foundation to stand on, I just was kind of out there. It was like the Wild West, you know, just trying to figure things out as a teenager, and began dating relationships and didn't, you know, I wanted to save myself for marriage, like I think a lot of Christian young people do. But I didn't realize the progression, the natural progression that God gives us in marriage to come to that point of sexual intimacy. And so not having those boundaries or that knowledge, I became sexually active at 15 and became pregnant pretty quickly after that. And, you know, my parents eventually found out, and I was shocked when they came to me and said, "Camille, do you want to have an abortion?" And I just thought, you know, I know that I have not done the right thing, that I've sinned by having sex outside of marriage, but I know abortion is wrong as well. I don't want to do that. And this is my baby, and I want to keep my baby. And so my parents were really supportive. So that was my first crisis pregnancy. They were really supportive. My church, too, was extremely supportive. And I think that that's really important, because my husband and I have served in youth ministry in the past, and we've been in churches where we've heard inklings and people kind of talking under their breath about youth who are sexually active and very condemning and not welcoming or loving or wanting to help them, you know, to walk in freedom from those types of sins. So, you know, it was refreshing that my church was supportive, my family was supportive, and I ended up having my daughter just... as a teenager, I just graduated high school. I pushed through and graduated early. You know, here I am, this young mom. The father had not stayed around. I felt like kind of a typical statistic of a teen in the late 80s who had become pregnant, early 90s. And, you know, I was just trying to do well, trying to get back into church, trying to raise my daughter the best I knew how. But I still had this longing for a relationship with someone who would love me and then now love my daughter, and had this desire for the family, and God places that desire in our hearts. But I still had zero discipleship and foundation framework for biblical relationships and how I should navigate that dating world. And so I found another relationship. We became sexually active very quickly, because those old habits are still there if they haven't changed, mm-hmm. and the heart hadn't changed. And so I became pregnant again, and I didn't really know the young man well. It was a very quick relationship and kind of a whirlwind, but he was committed to sticking around, seemed to love my daughter. We thought about getting married. My parents found out that I was pregnant again, and they really started pressuring me to have an abortion. The questions that they were asking me, or the statements they were making, really began to hit hard on the little limited theology that I had on the topic, and I began to question, and, you know, is this the right thing to do, and, you know, is it not fair to my daughter to have another baby? And I hadn't finished college, and neither one of us had really careers, and so with that pressure, I began to think about it. We talked about it. We hadn't really made a decision at that time, and then tragedy struck. I had been working a part-time job while I was going to school full-time in college, and my boyfriend was watching my daughter one evening, and I'll spare a lot of the details if any of the listeners want to read both of the resources I've written. My testimony's in there extensively. I came to find out that he had sexually assaulted and shaken my daughter to death while he had been watching her. And here I was, pregnant with his baby, and my world just crumbled under me. And we had been at the hospital, and the doctors had explained what had happened. And my parents, before we even left the hospital, were pressuring me again, like, "Oh, Camille, you have to have an abortion. You can't keep this baby. You can't. What's this going to do to you mentally and emotionally?" And but they didn't really ever hit on what it would do to me spiritually. No one explored, and I think this is a huge factor that nobody really talks about. Nobody explored with me, how is an abortion going to affect you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually?
Right.
When you feel like you're up against the wall, or trauma's hit, or, you know, some women do have abortions just out of convenience. I would say that is probably a minority compared to many that have had trauma or really hard circumstances that they feel like they don't have any other choice but that choice. And so it's so important for us to talk about abortion and the circumstances leading up to it if we're really going to help and minister to people and help them to choose life. Anyway, my life spiraled for a couple of years, just in that downward spiral, and that's what we use, the term we use in biblical counseling. And I just had really, at that point, had lost all desire for life. And I wasn't suicidal, but I didn't want to go on anymore. So I was self-medicating with more sexual relationships and drugs and alcohol and the partying lifestyle. And I didn't know what to do. I was saved, but I felt lost. And God, in his mercy, brought me to the end of myself, and he used a godly young man that I had grown up in church with who knew about Lauren, who knew about my daughter and her tragic death. And he began pursuing me in a godly way. And I thought, you know, this guy, he just graduated from seminary. He's going to go into youth ministry. A guy like that has no business with a girl like me. And I think that's something else to consider when we're talking not just an abortion, you know, biblical counseling after an abortion, but anything is our identity is really hit with sin. And so there I was thinking, he doesn't need to be with me, and he doesn't know about my abortion, and that's not going to be good for a youth pastor going into youth ministry and have this wife with this checkered past. And so he told me one night he had feelings for me, and I think he sensed my hesitation, and he looked me in the eyes, and he said, Camille, I know about your abortion, and I love you anyway. And it just impacted me so deeply, Doc. And, you know, when I left for the evening and I went home, I just felt the presence of the Lord and just the gospel coming afresh and anew to me and to my heart. And that, you know, God is holy. He's perfect. He's sinless. And we are all sinners that have fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, God sent his son because he loves us. Jesus died on the cross because he loves us and he wants to be with us anyway. And so that's really, that changed my life. And I did one of the smartest things I could. I married that young man when he asked me. And we, you know, we were doing well, but I still had this abortion in my past. And it really, really impacted my marriage. Had I not dealt with my abortion biblically through studying God's word, which he eventually, God brought a wonderful ministry into my life, healinghearts.org. And I went through one of their Bible studies for post-abortive women, Binding Up the Brokenhearted. And that Bible study just radically changed my life because it was gospel-centered and it was scripture-rich. And I just sat with the Lord going through each page with my counselor, who was also post-abortive. And I think that was really helpful to have a woman who had been in my shoes mentoring me and discipling me. And God just transformed my life through his word. And, you know, my husband looked at me when I was done with the study and he said, Camille, you're a completely different woman. And that's the power and the impact of the word of God, Doc. And so that really fueled my passion for post-abortion ministry, for ministry in general, because as I began to share my testimony in churches, because I was free, I didn't have the condemnation, I didn't have the fear anymore. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free, and I felt that freedom, and I was able to walk in it and share boldly my testimony because others, like you said, needed to hear and be comforted. And maybe they hadn't been through an abortion, but they had been through domestic violence or rape or sexual abuse. And women, just when they would hear my testimony, they would seek me out, you know, in private, but they would just come out of the woodwork and share and tell me things that they had never told anybody. And so the power of the gospel in one person's life and that life transformation gives hope and comfort. And, you know, the word says that God is a God of all comfort, and he comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received. And so my life began to take on that call and live that out, and I'm so thankful. So that's my story and my passion behind sharing with others, helping to bind up the brokenhearted in Christ.
Her new book, Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God, from the Ask the Christian Counselor series from New Growth Press. Camille, one of the chapters that I thought was particularly timely and practical is the what do I do with the thoughts about the baby? And you give several suggestions. Remember that if you had an abortion, you lost your baby. This is not just a clump of cells or anything. This was a human being. And not to throw more guilt on you, but because of that, you need to mourn the loss of that person. Surely as people, women who have miscarriages need to mourn their loss and not just move on, which was the kind of accepted way of handling it for many, many, many years. In our culture, it's okay to acknowledge loss. Take time to grieve. You talk about healthy grief. One of them, which is particularly, I think, important to ease the heart of women who have gone through this, is where's my baby now? And we have biblical basis for believing that he or she is with the Lord. I think for a woman who has been through an abortion, and particularly one who has become a Christian, that's got to be such an important question to have answered.
It is, and I think it's twofold, and there's probably room in there for other, you know, facets around this. But I think a lot of women, they know that it was their baby, and they try and maybe suppress that or not because it's painful to think about. And if you're not, you don't have any means to heal biblically from that, it's really hard and painful to deal with. Other women try and numb out and not think about it. And then there are other women who they feel like because they were the one who was culpable for their baby's death, they caused their baby's death, that they don't have a right to grieve. Mm. And that's just not true, because our God grieves over death and sin and suffering, and so should we. And, you know, it's a way to honor another image bearer when we grieve over that loss of life, whether we were the ones who caused that life or someone else. And so God wants us to grieve and mourn over the loss of an image bearer that he's created in his image. So there's a lot of closure that can come with that. There's you know, that's a big step to being able to move forward. And you brought up the kind of the putting the personal pronoun to it. That came out of a counseling that I had with a Christian sister, and she got to the point in our counseling where she was like, "Oh, Camille, I've never put a personal pronoun to the baby that I aborted. It was always the abortion or the baby." She said that was my baby, you know, and tears, you know, streaming down her face, and just to be able to acknowledge the personhood of her child and that it was her baby was very comforting and freeing for her, and God really used that. So, you know, it's important, and to know, you know, I think a lot of us question, you know, theologically what happens to these babies. And one of the best books I ever read on the topic is by John MacArthur, called Safe in the Arms of God. And it's so scripturally rich to help us to understand that those who are born into sin, we're all born into sin, but those babies are really innocent and don't have a knowledge of God. And so I don't want to get into all the weeds of that, but that's a great book to go deeper than what we go through in Moving Forward After an Abortion. And then, you know, to acknowledge, I think there can be a lot of ways. You know, some post-abortion ministries require the people that participate to memorialize or name their babies. I don't think that's very helpful to require that. You know, while those things aren't bad, they're not always possible, or they're unique. And so I talk about that in the book, the different ways that you can honor the personhood of the life that was taken through abortion and kind of give them a memorial to the Lord if that's how he leads you. So all of those things are honoring to the Lord.
It's such a powerful book with such great compassion. I think this is really an extraordinary book, and the idea that pastors should get a copy and use it as a template, I think is wonderful. And I would encourage people who are near a larger community, say, that have counseling services that are available, to look, that we used to say, look in the yellow pages. I don't think that works anymore. There are ways of finding out. North of us, I know in Montgomery, is a wonderful counseling service called the Good Samaritan. I'm not sure if south of us in Dothan if there is, but we'll find out. And when I find out, I'll let folks know on this show. And therefore, there are places that you can go if you are like Camille was, and you need someone desperately to talk to. You need guidance. You need the love of Christ. You need to feel forgiven and restored. And that doesn't come easily or without pain, but it is available and it is possible. And I think that's the message of hope that your book brings.
Thanks, Doc. And I would like to encourage especially any pastors or church leaders that are listening in as we approach the sanctity of human life Sunday. I'm really trying to make an appeal that they would purchase a copy for every member or household in their congregation, and you know, to leave those maybe in the seats in the pews on Sunday, and with an encouragement from the pulpit, because I think this is an issue where people need to be ministered to that have made that choice, but it's also an issue. We talked a little bit about politics. We're going into an election year. Christians really need to be informed and educated and to have compassion on this topic and to know how to appropriately and biblically share the gospel in these situations and to share compassionate biblical answers. So that's just my encouragement. I wanted to make that plug just to help it get, because some of those women sitting in the pews are post-abortive. The statistic of 1 out of every 3 women will have had an abortion by the time they reach 40, mid-40s. That's not any different inside the church than it is outside of the church. There are a lot of post-abortive women and men who are sitting in the pew, and they may not ever have the boldness or courage to purchase a book or pick it up from their church resource center. So placing it in the pews with an encouragement for all to read, I think will really, my hope is that it will minister and equip the body of Christ.
I think absolutely it will. And do you have a website that people can go to for if they're in a small enough area that there's nobody close by or anything like that? Can people find out more about your book and about the series?
I do. So the website's called agrittygospellife.com, agrittygospellife.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or Instagram. But even on the website, there's a resource page. You can actually download a free copy that includes my testimony in one of the chapters of Moving Forward After Abortion. There's video resources that I've done where I share my testimony. And then there's other counseling resources. So if there's no place close to the listeners, they can go online and find some other really good, solid biblical counseling centers or ministries that they can connect with and get help.
Wonderful. Camille, thank you so very much. Our guest today has been Camille Cates. Her book, Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God, from the Ask the Christian Counselor series from New Growth Press. It's available at Christian bookstores everywhere and, of course, online. And also check out her website, agrittygospellife.com. Thank you, Camille.
Thanks for having me, Doc.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Bookshelf. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station and your favorite podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.